video. How many of you guys know Mark Dice?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you guys know Mark Dice. The last time I played a Mark Dice video, someone stopped coming to church. But here's the thing. The ones I play is true. It's not my opinion. You can see it in society around you. So I want to play it. If you get offended, we can talk later, but it's 100% true, and I'm vouching for it. So that's why I want to play it. So go ahead.
The root cause of most of the craziness we're witnessing in society today is the breakdown of the family. Ever since the 1960s, we've seen a dramatic increase in the number of broken homes in America, many pointing to the easing of divorce laws back then, and others to the general liberalization of society. And with so many children being raised by single parents, the harsh truth that few people want to admit is these kids don't have the proper supervision, guidance, or role models to help them grow up to be well-adjusted adults. Compounding the problem is modern media, which has been poisoning the minds of the youth for the last 20 years. And with the advent of social media, particularly when it became available on mobile devices instead of just desktop computers, now countless kids are subjected to endless hours of degenerate content and influencers with millions of followers who are determined to tear apart what little is left of the moral fabric of our society. All access to the smartphone in the palm of their hands, in the privacy of their own bedroom, with their poor parents either completely clueless about who their children are interacting with online, or sit by helpless with no ideas about how to stop it short of joining the Amish, since our modern society has accepted this assault on children's minds as an inescapable consequence of today's technology. Evolutionary biologist David Buss explains in his book, The Evolution of Desire, Strategies of Human Mating, that children raised without the presence of a father suffer from the absence of his teachings and his political and social alliances, which have irreparable effects on their lives, compounding the other problems they face, which I just mentioned. No matter how good of a mom a single mother is, no matter how much she loves her kids, and no matter how hard she tries, the fact is not having a father in the home dramatically impacts the development of the children. The same is true if a child is raised by only a father without a mother in the home, which is rare because mothers get primary custody of the children in the vast majority of cases. But what's worse than parents who get a divorce when their children are growing up is the situation of women having children when they're not even married at all. Often these children are fathered by men who they're just casually dating, with whom they don't even have the necessary commonalities required to maintain a stable and happy long-term relationship. Single mothers cause countless problems for children, like causing them to miss out on learning the father's tactical skills and seeing the day-to-day interactions of how man and woman relate with each other. But sometimes there are even more devastating effects. Most school shooters grew up without a father in their home. ISIS often recruits members for their terrorist organization from homes with no father. Why? It's simply easier to get people to join that way. It's impossible to argue that the lack of supervision, guidance, and discipline a father living in the home provides doesn't dramatically affect the psychological wellness of the kids, and without it, they're put at risk for a wide variety of potential dangers. But Democrats love single mothers for multiple reasons. First of all, it's because they often rely on the government for assistance in raising their kids and are thus inclined to become lifelong members of the Democrat Party and keep voting Democrat, which grows the nanny state larger every year. Our culture started on its downward spiral because of the collapse of the nuclear family, and now even friendships seem to be a thing of the past for many of the younger generations who mostly talk with their friends through text messages or Snapchat, since face-to-face interactions, and even talking on the phone, seem old-fashioned. Most young men today wouldn't even know how to approach a beautiful girl in person or chat her up and ask for a date. Instead, they sit on their phones and swipe through Tinder profiles as if they're scrolling through a magazine or a menu, or like the girl's Instagram posts, hoping to get her attention and then slide into the DMs. Dating is seen as strange to them. Going out has been replaced by watching Netflix, which is their only idea of a good time. And millennials and Generation Z are having less sex than previous generations, not because they're deciding to maintain their virginity until marriage, which would be commendable, but because they're afraid of real intimacy due to their stunted social skills from spending too much time living in virtual worlds. Many of those who are having sex see one-night stands or friends with benefits as the norm and sleep around with multiple different people within their group of friends without entering into long-term serious relationships, or use Tinder for an ongoing chain of one-night stands with complete strangers. They don't even have enough in common with to maintain a meaningful conversation during dinner. There are core principles that happy couples have practiced for thousands of years, but unfortunately today, many people shun long-held traditions, thinking that they can reinvent the wheel and come up with odd new ideas about what relationships should be, which only lead to disaster. Many psychologists also believe that too much porn and video games are causing a masculinity crisis for the younger generation, since they have an endless supply at the tips of their fingers. Many boys now turn to porn instead of pursuing relationships with girls because they're so afraid of getting rejected, since they don't have the adequate social skills to confidently communicate with someone they're attracted to. Porn addiction is a real problem for many people today, and it literally rewires the reward centers of the brain, and over time can actually cause erectile dysfunction when guys are in the presence of an actual naked woman, from what's called porn-induced erectile dysfunction. If you ever wonder, can liberalism ruin society any further? The answer is always yes. The identify however you want ideology has ballooned from men wanting to be women or vice versa to dozens of different supposed genders and people who say they have no gender. There are even people like Rachel Dolezal who think that they're of a different race, and since the left is biting themselves into a corner by embracing every new level of craziness as normal, there are now people who identify as trans age. A Canadian man who's like, he's like, his wife over 20 years, and for children to live as a 6-year-old girl. She even found an adoptive family who took her in. And this is not an isolated incident. The 38-year-old man in Chicago was arrested for sexually assaulting 3 different young girls aged 6 to 8 and told prosecutors he considers himself to be trans age. And it's just a 9-year-old boy stuck in a man's body. If you dare, you can search YouTube for ABDL or adult baby diaper lovers who are grown adults that like to live as small children and even wear diapers. There you'll see some of these people vlogging about their lifestyle. MTV even aired an episode of their real life series about these adult babies, which is on YouTube, and some of the top thumbed up comments defend them, saying things like, they really seem nice and it's okay to be different. So what's next? Will calling these people mentally ill psychos be equated with calling someone the N-word or treated as the same kind of bigotry as someone who thinks gay people are strange? In George Orwell's 1984, the main antagonist, the bad guy O'Brien, tells Winston Smith that never again will you be capable of human feeling. Everything will be dead inside of you. Never again will you be capable of love or friendship or joy of living or laughter or curiosity or courage or integrity. You will be hollow. This is what the Marxists want. They are miserable as a result of poor life choices combined with coming from dysfunctional families, which were most often the result of poor life choices, and their downward spiral is causing them to want everyone else to be miserable too. They are incapable of love and understanding and have no logic or reasoning abilities, and the longer we let them openly exercise their agendas and infest our schools, media, and courts, and Congress with their culture Marxism, the more difficult it's going to be to stop them from completely destroying the human race. There's so much more I could say about the thought police may be watching, so if you really want to know what's happening, order my books like Liberalism Find a Cure, which isn't just a great t-shirt you can order from my online store at marktest.com, but also a very serious book of mine. And
all right, you see how much a father affects society? Again, like everyone from the LGBT community or people with odd lifestyles, as Christians, we're supposed to love them. We're supposed to love them. And the best way is to tell them the truth. You know, we're not supposed to cower around and say, hey, what you're doing is okay. We're supposed to say, God loves you. We're supposed to say, we want you to know God. How? Why? Because if you know God, then you know his ways. And his ways always produce prosperity. And so when we take the father out of the society, we don't honor the dads anymore. We lose provision. We lose protection. And we lose a part of that connection with God. And so we wanna look at this. Again, you know, the video is not to make fun of all those other people, but those people need the love of the Father. And so I want to show you some graphs. If you look at this, facts about fathers. In the United States, 23.9 million children live absent of their biological fathers. Fatherless children represent 63% of teen suicides, 70% of juveniles in state institutions, 71% of high school dropouts, 75% of children in chemical abuse centers, 80% of rapists didn't grow up with her father. 85% of youths in prison did not grow up with a father. And again, a lot of these grow up maybe in a single mother home, but she had many boyfriends, so there was no connection with a male figure. And then 90% of homeless and runaway children have no fathers. And so this is what we're experiencing today. And this is why we want to honor fatherhood at this church, because it's so important for society to know and to really honor dads. You know, I was thinking the other day, the past 20, 30 years in TV, you watch TV and the dad's always dumb, a failure, never good enough. Yeah, joke. Like Homer Simpson. And that's the thing that we have to reverse. Now, are fathers perfect? No, fathers make a lot of mistakes. Dads, I make so many mistakes. But we have to put the right order back the way God designed it to be. So how many of you guys were here on Mother's Day when we honored mothers? The same honor we honor mothers, we have to do with fathers as well. And so today is your day if you're a dad. I want to show you another graph. I know people love graphs, but it's helpful for me. This is one of the most eye-opening stats I've ever seen. A father's influence, probability of family becoming Christians. If the child becomes a Christian first, the odds of the family becoming Christian are 3.5%. If the mother becomes Christian first, the odds are 17%. If the dad becomes a Christian first and is the priest and the head of the household, 93% of the families become Christian. So, you know, people say, well, correlation is not causation. For this, I think it is. The drop-off in Christian attendance and then the drop-off in dad's stay in the home is very much correlated, in my opinion. Why? Because our God is a father. And when we don't know how to treat fathers, we don't know how to treat our Father in heaven. So how do we do this? First, we got to recognize how fathers are created. The first thing a father is a provider. And I think for you guys that are dads, or even if you're not a dad, that's in you already. That's a given. When you have people that depend on you, you want to be that provider. You want to do that. That's a God-given gift that He gave you. In fact, I'll bring up a controversial subject. How many of you guys have friends where there's a couple, man and woman, married couple, and the wife makes more money than the guy? You know what they argue about a lot? Money. And this doesn't mean like the guy, people go, they throw it away and say, oh, the guy's so insecure. You know, no, it's not that. It's not that. I'm not saying you can't have your wife make more money than you. There's a time when my wife made more money than me, but now she's homeschooling the kids, so she makes zero money. But in fact, she's more valuable there than bringing in an extra paycheck. But going back to it, and when I talk to people, it's not that the guy's insecure. It's they have to find a way for the man to be able to give a significant portion as a provider. And if that doesn't happen, that God-given ability in a man is laid dormant and causes depression, causes anger issues, and all these things. And so if you have a dad, if you have a husband, maybe your brother is a dad, make sure you thank them for providing for whoever they take care of. Because when the more that you're grateful, the more that it multiplies. The same thing with God, right? When we thank God for providing the very little, what happens? It multiplies. It gets bigger. And so the scripture here in Timothy 5:8, it says, this one's funny to me. They had the same problem over the 2,000 years ago as we did today. Paul writes to Timothy. So Timothy, he's the new pastor, and Paul's mentoring him, and this is his letter. But if anyone does not provide for his own, especially for those in his household, he has denied his faith and is worse than an unbeliever. An unbeliever denied the faith. How did he deny the faith? What? Our core value is we worship God the Father, who is a provider. And so as a Christian, we do our best to become like Him. And so if He's the ultimate provider, the Bible says he's the owner of a thousand cattle on a thousand hills. You know, in Bible terms, that means He's the richest man you know. And God is the richest person you know. And if that's who we're supposed to be like, and we go the opposite way, it's easy to see how you deny your faith. It doesn't mean you lose your salvation. It's just you're denying who you're created to be. And so you have to provide, if you're a man, and I know everyone in here does that, but for children and women, please thank your husband or your dad for providing for you. It's essential. Proverbs 13:22, the next verse says, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, but the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. So what does this mean? Why is this together? This is a promise from God. The wealth of the sinner. This is the wealth of the people, like, that hold the levers of power. You know what I mean? How many of you guys know about big banks and all that stuff? You know, I'm preaching in the choir here. You guys know about the Federal Reserve and stuff like that. These big banks and how they, you know, tweak the financial world, and the little guy loses all the time. And this is a promise from God. The wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. Who's the righteous? The sons and daughters of God. How do we do that? When we, as good men, leave inheritances for our children's children. So not even our own children, but our grandchildren and the next generation. When we leave inheritances for them, God promises that He will transfer the wealth of the sinners to the righteous. And so, why are we in this inflation? It's because we've gone down this road where men are not honored as fathers, and so they don't leave inheritance for their children. And so God can't do this part unless we do our part. All right? So I hope you understand that this is a long road that we're going to win, but it's something that we really have to fight for, is giving inheritances to our children. So, all right, protector. I was challenged one time by friends of mine, where they said God never allows men to protect their families with deadly weapons. And I'm like, what are you talking about? You know, they're talking about when Jesus said turn the other cheek, right? And a lot of people don't know the cultural significance of that situation. When Jesus said, as you heard, as it is written, you heard eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, but I say, bless your enemies, pray for those who persecute you. And that's absolutely true. Absolutely true. We do that. We pray for our enemies. But there is provision for you as a man to protect your family. Why? Because it is like our Father. You know, when the Israelites left Egypt and Pharaoh was chasing them with the chariots and was going to kill them. You know the prayer that they prayed, the Israelites? They prayed, our Father, our God, is a warrior. The Lord is His name. And then God killed the Egyptians by crashing the water on them. And so I remember I was talking to this person. I'm like, no, you don't know this cultural significance. The turn the other cheek was for someone, an evil person that wants to jab at you personally, is a personal insult. It is not when someone's trying to kill your family, you know? And so it was like, oh, where is it in the Bible then? I'm like, oh, it's right here. It's in Nehemiah. So let me give you a backdrop on this. So Nehemiah 4:14 says, don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, who is great and awesome, and fight for your families, your sons, your daughters, your wives, your homes. And people say, well, that doesn't mean swords and stuff. If you read the whole chapter, Nehemiah says, take up sword, shield, and spear. You know, that's not the thing. Why did that happen? Why did Nehemiah the prophet say this to the people? It's because they were, Israel sinned. They worshiped other gods, so they got taken captive by Babylon. And so Babylon had a war with Persia, and then Persia took over Babylon. And Nehemiah was one of the king of Persia's like court, high court. And Nehemiah wanted to go back to his homeland in Israel, Jerusalem. And the king granted him that. So when he went back to Jerusalem, he found the city in ruin. The temple was in ruins, and the walls surrounding the city was in ruins. Ezra, the other prophet, rebuilt the temple, but the walls were still in ruins. And so God told Nehemiah, rebuild the wall. Why? Because back in the day, if you didn't have a wall, your city would be raided, you know, this and that, and everything you worked for would go up in smoke. And so when the enemies of the people of God saw Nehemiah and the people rebuilding the wall, then Nehemiah said, okay, these people are going to try to kill us because they don't want this wall to be put up because they can't steal anymore, right? So Nehemiah goes and says, hey, for you guys working on the wall, I want a hammer in one hand and a sword in the other hand. And they're like, oh no, there's too many of them. And so he comes up and says, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your families, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes. I had a recent event happen in Northern California. Some of my friends crashed a drag queen story hour. And people go, whoa, you're so mean. Like, these people just want to give back to the community and the kids. Well, in this particular case, the person that was reading the story has a video talking about he wants young kids to suck his, you know, D. That's a pedophile. And so these men went to stop that from happening. And guess what? Who's getting investigated? Not the pedophile. My friends. That's how sick and corrupted this world is today. And why did they do that? They were trying to protect children. And you know what? That's what happens when we make fun of dads, when we say dads are stupid, dads don't have any role in society, then predators come in because there's no walls. As a father, you're a wall not to keep your children from experience, but you're a wall from lifelong trauma to come in. And this is very important. We have to fight for our family. Our sons, our daughters, our wives, and our homes. And so don't forget that. It's a very important thing as a Christian. And the last and most important thing is every father is a priest. Every father is a conduit for their families to know God better. You know, people ask me like, oh, does that mean a woman can't know God? A woman can't teach her children about God? You know, I always get that. And I'm like, no. Yes, it doesn't mean that. Yes, they can. But there's a special thing a father does that a woman can't do. You know, the Mark Dice video, if you remember, there's many single parent homes where the mom is the sole provider, protector, and priest. And I'm not knocking single moms. Sometimes that's the situation you're in, and that's what you have to do, and I commend them for being so strong. But if you look at the data, there's no comparison. You take the best single mom that sacrifices all she has to raise her kids right, even in the Lord, it doesn't compare to a home with both parents, especially when the dad is the head of the household and the priest of the household. Just look at the data. It's all out there. And so this is very important. This is the most important thing. I remember talking to my friends, and they said, oh, all you're doing is you're resurrecting the evil patriarchy. I'm like, the evil patriarchy? What are you talking about? Like, you know, in society, you know, here in America, yes, men and women have equal value, absolutely. But in the Christian home, God created an order for a purpose. It's a, you know, people say, well, it's not congruent with the times. And I'm like, it's not supposed to be. It's supposed to be congruent with reality. You know, a lot of modern times is not congruent with reality. And so God made the man the head of the household. And people go, oh, here we go again, going back to the Stone Age. I want to start with, though, Ephesians 6:4. This is a biblical father right here. It says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." How many of you guys know, no matter how good your mom was at telling stories, you wanted your dad to tell you the stories where the bad guy, or the good guy beats the bad guy, right? You know what I mean? Like, it's so funny. My kids, they're fans of like Star Wars and stuff. And, you know, my wife reads them stories and this and that, but you know what they want me to do? They want me to tell them stories about how this pirate, this good pirate, stabs a bad one. You know, like, or tells a story where like Luke Skywalker's fighting Darth Vader and stuff like that. And over the years, in the past 50 years, we've been trying to suppress that and call it toxic masculinity. Whereas, as you read, it's not toxic. It's actually biblical masculinity. Men are not bloodthirsty tyrants. That's the fallacy that the world says. It's like, if you allow men to be men, they become bloodthirsty tyrants. That's not true. If men have a father in heaven that they owe their lives to, they will become like this. They won't provoke the children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. How many of you guys know, like, no matter how mad your mom got, my mom got pretty scary, you know. But when your dad got home, it's a different story, right? Like, my dad's right here. I remember I used to sneak out of the house. I was like five. I have a five-year-old here, and my dad knows, he'll tell you this happened. I used to sneak out of the house to play with my friends. And my mom would get mad, but I know, like, no matter how hard she hit me in the butt, I could take it, you know? So I would risk, and I would, like, play with my friends, even though when I'm not supposed to go by myself, in the neighborhood. Like, imagine a five-year-old running around out here with her friends. No supervision. That's what I did. And you know what I would do? I was a bad kid. I was like, I knew what time my dad would come home from work. And then I would wait till I see him turn the corner, and I would run into my room and then pretend I was sleeping. And I remember when he caught me, oh man, I thought I was gonna die. But that was helpful for me. Wait till your father gets home. Yes, that you kids need that. When I look back into what my father did, at first I was like, oh, such a mean guy, you know? And I look back and he's like, he was preventing me from becoming a criminal, you know? He was preventing me from lying. He was preventing me from, you know, disrespecting my mother by just taking whatever punishment she had. This is why fathers need to be the head of the household. There's something there that you can't replace. Every society that is matriarchal, what ends up happening, if you look out throughout history, it becomes sexually deviant. You know, it becomes, you know, people go, well, that's your definition of sexually deviant. I'm like, it's going too far when kids are being hurt, right? If you want to do your sexually abnormal thing in your own privacy, go ahead. You don't have to bring it here. But now that it's normal there, now it's coming to our kids, which is absolutely unacceptable. And so fathers, when you are the priest of your household, you set the record straight on how it's supposed to be, and it's healthy. So here we go, Ephesians 5:25-26. Does this sound like a tyrant? Husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. This is what it means to be a priest of the household, is whatever danger your wife or your children face, you put your own body, you put your health, you put your emotions in front of that. You are the one that takes every bullet, every arrow, every, you know, bad word said about your family, and you take that and shield your family. This is what Jesus did for us. While we were still sinners, he died for us. No matter how badly your wife is behaving, your kids are behaving, you as a husband, you have to take responsibility for your family. Husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word. And so, as husbands, as fathers, you hold the scriptures as your guide for your family. In fact, you know, back in the olden days, it's the men that bring out and read the scripture to the family. Why? Is it because the men are better than the women? No, that's not true. In fact, women are great. Like right now, my wife's teaching the kids about God. That's what they do. But when men step up and become the priest of their household, the rest of society becomes better. Because the natural order, the way God made it, now becomes prominent. And see, the more that the husband is the priest, the more that he loves his wife. When men are honored as being the priest of the household, they don't care anymore. You know, does that shirk responsibility? No. But it's very important that we honor our fathers and our husbands by letting them teach us from the word. And it's absolutely true. Now, does my wife not teach me from the word? Yeah, when I make mistakes. And that's the wife's job, like, because guys aren't perfect. So when I make a mistake and she brings it up, she's like, hey, I'm like, oh, okay. But you know what that does? That makes me better into teaching my family. So it's this system that God created that makes it more makes everyone more prosperous. Mm-hmm. So here it is, 1 Peter 2:9. It says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So people ask me, you know, how come you got, in the Christian church there's no priests? And I go, because every father is a priest. Every person, every man in the church that has a family is a priest. What is a priest? The priest is a conduit between God and man. And so when the father takes his rightful place in the priesthood, we become a holy nation. And that's how far we've fallen. That our nation, America, is not a holy nation anymore. There's all sorts of, the mass shootings, terrible. Terrible. Why is that happening? Like the video said, like, there was no one to guide these young men. There was no one to guide these young men. They don't know they're a chosen people. All they know is suffering. All they know is, I don't know who I am. I don't know what my purpose is. And so they try to find fulfillment. And there's these predators that go and find these young men that don't have fathers. And they say, well, I will teach you. And they teach them terrible things. That's why we have, you know, these terrorism things, these mass shootings. Because there's a lot of young men with a lot of energy. How many of you guys know God designed men to have energy and do work? And when that's not focused in the right place, it produces evil. I remember my cousin, I have a cousin who's a pacifist, and she has a couple of sons. So every birthday, she gives me the look, she's just like, oh, don't give us gifts anymore. And I'm like, why? All you give my boys are swords and guns. And I'm like, yeah, because you and, you know, your husband don't. And she goes, you're teaching them violence. And I'm like, no. They can, you know, I told her, what is the largest, method of killing in the United States? By what weapon? According to the FBI statistics. And she goes, guns. I'm like, nope, far from it. It's hands and feet. So I don't need to give someone a weapon for them to become a murderer. In fact, the boys gravitate to these things because God made them a certain way. Our Father in heaven in the beginning said, let us make man and woman, male and female, after our own image. You know, my girl loves unicorns and rainbows. And when she plays with the boys, she doesn't want to do the sword. She wants to, like, dress the wounds and stuff.
Aww.
You know what I mean? Am I going to deprive my daughter of that? No, absolutely not. So why am I depriving my sons of how they're created to be? Why do little boys want to play with swords, want to play with guns, want to play, let's kill the dragon, oh, let's defeat the bad guy? Why do they want to play that? Because God made them into a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. God wants them to grow up to men, to become men that provide and protect their families from evil. And so when we became a prosperous nation beyond measure, we forgot about evil. Then we forgot about God. And then we forgot about God, we forgot about fathers and how important they are. And when we forgot about fathers and how important they are, all manner of evil came into society, and now our kids are paying the price. And so I think churches like us, that we can reverse that cycle. And we start that by honoring every single father in the house. And I encourage you, if they're not here, honor them as well. So what I want to do is, we're going to have communion next, Independence service. But what I want to do for you guys is, I want to bless you guys with a small gift. So if anyone who is a dad, if you guys can line up here. And in military fashion, I'm going to ask you some questions. No, but they're going to be good. So just line up in front. Just a line right here. So, Paul, come in. All right. Yeah, you're so apologized for being a man. That's good. So, I want to hand out these things, and I got the perfect number. So take one and pass it down as a small gift to honor the men. Dads are important.
They are.
Is it the Home Depot?
Yes.
Oh, yeah!
All right. So if you guys can face forward, we're just going to ask you if you... No, face this way. So, men of Ecclesia, do you promise to be the provider of your families no matter what happens to this economy?
Yes, sir.
Men of Ecclesia, do you promise to protect your families from all harms and dangers, foreign and domestic?
Yes, sir.
And finally, and most importantly, men of Ecclesia, will you strive to be the priest of your household, teaching them the ways of the Lord?
Yes.
All right, so let's pray. You guys bow your heads. Ladies, if you can just reach your hands out to the men that have declared their intention. Father God, we just thank you that we have a community of real warriors. We have a community of real providers. We have a community of men who are integrous. And so God, we pray for the future and the sake of our children and the next generations. I pray you empower these men just as you did long ago, in just like you did with David's mighty men, just like you did with Joshua when he asked the people of Israel, choose today on whom you will serve. I pray that today, by their declaration of yes to all three questions, that they chose to serve you, that you are our commander-in-chief, and that whatever direction and order you give us, we will follow it to the death, so that our families will prosper. Lord God, I thank you for each one of these men, that you made them into men who have courage, that whatever poses a danger to their family, to their friends, to their church, that they're willing to put their lives on the line for it all, for your glory. And so God, I pray that the little children, whether they be boys and girls, would grow up and look up to these men standing here today. And if there's women that are single mothers that come to this place, come to our community, I pray that they would get the counsel of these men for their children, so that we can fill in the gap for the ones who don't have fathers. Because you said in your word, Lord, you are a defender of the widows and the fatherless. And I commend the men here today that they will be providers, protectors of their own families and even of the children who are fatherless. So, Lord, we thank you in advance for today, and we pray that you continue to raise us up to become the best man possible. And we pray this in your mighty name, Father. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So go ahead and give them a hand, turn around, take a picture, make sure you look at Daddy.
Ready? 1, 2, 3. Show your gift card! Yeah. Men Love Home Depot!
Amen, amen, you guys. All right, so have a seat. With that said, you guys, happy Father's Day. You guys are amazing. For you guys that are online, you know, you can fellowship with us next time, but what we're going to do now is fellowship together with some food. Mike, can you pray for us? Can you pray for the food? And we're just going to go ahead and start.
Yes.
Yeah, come on.
Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this Father's Day. We thank you, Lord, for everyone that's here and present. And we just pray for your Holy Spirit to just be with our families, be with our children and everybody. And pray for our blessing upon this this food, Lord. May it nourish our bodies. And we just thank you, Lord. All glory be to you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen, you guys.